This show is brought to you by Marketing Relevance, because all of your marketing should be relevant. Now, let's get on with the show. You are listening to the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show, all about real estate edition, shining a light on the movers and shakers in the real estate industry, the home builders, developers, realtors, and suppliers making it all happen. And now, here are your hosts.
Good morning and welcome back to the About Real Estate edition of the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show. I'm your host, Todd Schnick, joined by my friend and colleague, Brian Nonne. Good morning, Brian. Really cool organization we're about to talk to, doing some really interesting work in town. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Well, I got a decent history with these guys, and so I'm looking forward to hearing about all the projects going around town.
And they still decided to talk to us?
Somehow. You know, they know me, and I don't know how I got it. So
they must have forgotten.
I guess
all right.
So.
Well, we're joined this morning by Merritt Lancaster. He's a principal with Paces Properties. Merritt, welcome to the show.
Morning. Thank you.
Yeah, it's good to have you. Thanks for carving out some time to join us. You got, according to our talking points today, you are involved in an awful lot of things. I know you're busy, so I appreciate you stopping by and joining us. Before we get into all the cool things that Paces Properties is doing, take a few quick seconds and inform the audience a bit about you and your background.
Okay. Thanks again for having me. I am originally from Atlanta. Grew up here, grew up in Vinings, went to school in North Carolina, moved back here around the time of the Olympics, which was an exciting time for Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, worked around at some banks and some of the investment banks, and have been primarily in the real estate business, was a lender in the CMBS business for a long time, and got into development after 2008 with a company down in Columbus, Georgia, Flournoy Development, and then sort of restarted Paces Properties with my business partner, David Cochran, in mid-2011.
So go deeper there. Give us a 10,000-foot view of Paces Properties.
Sure. So Paces Properties was started in the 70s by Felix Cochran, my business partner, David Cochran's father. And he was sort of one of the legendary land guys. So he was out, well, it would be now it's in, but out here looking at, you know, land specking as Atlanta, you know, boomed in the suburban sprawl of the, you know, late 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm. And so he did a lot of business. That was a lot of his primary business. But I think, you know, one thing that we still operate on behalf of the Cochran family is the Vinings Jubilee, which is probably at this point one of the more notable Paces Properties assets. And Felix developed that over time. Now it's, I think most people would consider it the center of Vinings. Then it was one of the first boutique outdoor shopping malls sort of ever built that I know of. I mean, it's still a very unique asset. I mean, there's no grocery store, there's no Target, there's no Walmart, but it continues to be a very popular and successful shopping centers. You know, when Felix passed away in 96, a couple of his existing partners ran the business, and David took over, I think around the same time, maybe in the early 2000s, and they focused on a lot of suburban apartment development, condominium development, and that sort of a thing. And, you know, in 2008, I think there were, you know, well, nobody had any fun in 2008 from there.
Yeah, no.
So, you know, fast forward, I was moving back in town. David and I grew up on the same street. We were in the same high school class. We've known each other a long time. And we were both figuring out what we were going to do in real estate. And we both said, well, look, this is nuts. We ought to be able to make a living in real estate in our own neighborhoods, in our own backyards. If we can't do that, then, you know, we don't have any business in the business. We should find something else to do. And so we sort of reformed the business then, 2011 and 12. George Banks and Pat Wilson had been with David a little bit before then too, and they had acquired one asset. But we sort of began in earnest then with a focus on finding the right real estate locations and then developing the asset around the location, which is, I think, sets us apart a little bit from the rest of the world. A lot of guys, you know, they go, well, listen, I build Publix anchored shopping center, so I need 10 acres at these demographics, and if I can't find it, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
We tend to set out and say, well, look, that's an amazing piece of real estate. It's really, really messed up. You know, usually if it doesn't have environmental contamination, at least 9 parcels, somehow death involved, it's not our kind of deal. We really like them complicated. But I think that's, in our minds, that's indicative of a location that's, you know, it's hard, which means nobody else has done it. And we really like to put those together and create a development based on the location as opposed to the other way around.
Well, see, I love that. Instead of building around a Publix, building around a unique story, something that binds and ties that community together, to me, that's what makes it special. So it makes it home. That's what makes it just a neat thing. So I appreciate that. And I think that's kind of the trend generally in the industry. You're probably a groundbreaker there. As Brian mentioned, he has had a long history with you guys. And in our pre-production meeting this morning, he couldn't stop talking about the Kraug Street Market. Yeah. So I want to hear all about that. That opened last year. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, sure. So again, this falls as probably our first real example of trying to execute this business plan. And we started out with the east side of Kraug Street, which is currently Kraug Street Market, but it used to be Tyler Perry's studio.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, it was...
Well, you said environmental contamination.
So well, I'm getting there. Before that, it was a couple of other things. And originally, that entire neck of the woods was the Atlanta Stove Works. They made cast iron potbelly stoves there. And so... That's where your contamination comes in, by the way. So we started with that side and began working with the neighborhood on how to redevelop that building and figure out what it wanted to be. And we were struggling a little bit because it's directly adjacent to single family houses, and that tends to not jive super well with really high density. So as we worked through what that was going to be with the neighborhood, the other side of the street became sort of available, if you will. And so we took the Stoveworks, which was basically the other side of Kraug Street. And in combining the old Tyler Perry piece with a single family house that we had to move the other side of the street and three other parcels, we were able to put it together and create a mixed use development, which in concept is nothing novel, but we felt like a lot gets lost when you stack everything vertically. So we put the apartment site on the south end, we kept the Stoveworks in its current formation as the office, and then we had this other really cool building. We didn't know what to do with it. So, you know, we knew it needed to be retail, but it doesn't layout to fit any normal retail box. And so we were working with our architects, Rule Joy Tramwell Rubio and Kevin Rathbun, who has a restaurant in Stoveworks, and, you know, Ford Fry, and talking to sort of those guys. And then this concept, which again is not a new concept, the concept of a market has been around, I mean, forever. But on the West Coast, it had been executed recently. Oxbow Market in Napa, the Ferry Building, Melrose Market in Seattle, and then, you know, certainly our friends at Jamestown and Chelsea. And so that concept sort of began to form. And we said, wow, that'd be really cool if we could pull that off. And, you know, around that time, Ford said, well, hey, look, I'll take the big fat corner, you know, as long as you keep the old building. And so we said, okay, well, let's go with it. And so we did. And, you know, it was a little bit scary at first because a lot of people looked at us like we were completely nuts. Like, we don't even know what a market is. But then we got some traction. We, you know, signed up the first two or three guys, and then it just sort of took off.
It is a special spot. All right.
Well, thanks.
Merritt Lancaster will return after this short break. We'll be right back.
Your marketing tactics shouldn't be silos. Silos are for cows. Build a marketing foundation that includes three main components working together: your brand, website, and blog. The tactics you use, social media, public relations, SEO, advertising, etc., should all interconnect and relate to your foundation. They aren't silos off by themselves in the field. When you are ready to create an integrated marketing strategy, contact Marketing Relevance to take your company to the next level. That's marketingrelevance.com or call 770-383-3360.
All right, we're back with Merritt Lancaster, principal at Paces Properties.
You know, before the break, we talked about the Kraug Street Market and the whole food hall kind of revolution that's starting to come to this side of the nation. But let's dive into some other Paces properties.
Sure.
No pun intended. and talk about the upcoming Atlanta Dairies and then maybe even the office. But start with the Atlanta Dairies. Tell us about that.
Sure. So, you know, one of the other components, obviously, to the Kraug Street deal was the Atlanta Beltline. I'm pretty sure everybody's been there at least once. I mean, it's truly for a, you know, 12 or 15 foot concrete path. It's been a truly transformational part of Atlanta's recent real estate history and will continue to be so. And so if you continued on the Beltline from Kraug Street down to Memorial Drive, is the Atlanta Dairies. And basically at Interstate 20 and Bill Kennedy Parkway, which is right where the Beltline will cross 20, just a hair west of there, is the old Atlanta Dairies, which was, we call it the Atlanta Dairies because in the 40s, I believe this is correct, that Atlanta had the largest population of dairy farmers. That particular part of Fulton and DeKalb County had the largest population of dairy farmers outside of Wisconsin, the United States. Well, we had wiped out cotton, so everybody was raising cows. And then pasteurization became a requirement to sell milk none of those guys had the ability to pasteurize milk on their own, so they created the Atlanta Dairies Cooperative where they pasteurize milk. And so that's, if you drive by there today, it doesn't look great, but you can still see the old Atlanta Dairy sign on the neat brick building. You know, in keeping with sort of our mantra, we believe that that location has a ton of merit and that it's on the Beltline. Memorial Drive is one of the last undeveloped commercial quarters that are surrounded by some of the greatest neighborhoods in Atlanta, in our opinion. So you're talking about Grant Park, Capture Town, Reynolds Town, Kirkwood, Edgewood. I mean, this is Wormwood Park, East Atlanta Village. I mean, these are the neighborhoods that...
It is Atlanta.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly, right? So it's like, if you look at where Darius is on a map, it's pretty much right in the middle of all that. So that's a good spot to be in our mind. So we started with the site and said, okay, well, what does this thing want to be? And we were actually on the site. And if you were to go there, you can see in the middle of the old building, there's basically a rectangle that's set up at an angle. And it says, I'm an amphitheater is what it says. And so we were like, well, hey, that's pretty cool. You know, we're losing Masquerade. There's, you know, a couple other things happening around town in terms of live music. Population is continuing to grow. So we said, look, we don't want to do another food hall. There's Croc Street right up the way. What else creates a location or a place where people want to go and be and, you know, hang out? And music is very much one of those things. And so the Atlanta Dairies is slated right now to be about, it's probably going to be 30 or 40,000 feet of like loft office. Another 30 or 40,000 feet of, we're calling it retail. So we have a couple of restaurants and bars and then a large music venue, which is, I'm going to say, is going to be roughly 2,000 seats.
That's going to be a great intimate venue.
It's going to be really neat. Yeah,
that is very cool. Gosh, we could do an hour on Atlanta Dairies, but we're low on time.
Sure.
One other subject I do want to get into is, and we touched on this a bit pre-show, is, and we've noticed it on the show, Brian, and we've been broadcasting 4.5 years-ish of the show, and it wasn't until the last couple of months that we've actually started talking to some organizations doing some cool stuff downtown.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a wasteland for a long, long time. And it's not like you got a project there that I want to hear about. But then also, I love your commentary on the resurgence of downtown. Some amazing stuff happening there.
Yeah, it is. So the office is our project downtown. It's a 327-unit apartment project right on the east side of downtown, basically on the parking deck that it shares with the Hilton Hotel. So it's on Piedmont. Okay. The address is 250 Piedmont. Through the tubes that were, you know, originally concepted and built by the Portman companies, you can basically walk from our apartment project all the way to Peachtree Center, SunTrust, Peachtree Street. You can get anywhere through the tubes without even having to go outside. Should you want to do that, we obviously like for everyone to get out and, you know, experience downtown. But when it's cold or it's raining or it's, you know, August,
right,
you know, it's connected. So downtown has been a very difficult market. As Atlanta went through the suburban sprawl, a lot of that Class B office space sort of became vacant. And I think most everyone sort of left it for dead. But a lot of credit is due Georgia State. Georgia State
absolutely
has expanded rapidly, and they've taken a lot of that sort of Class B and C space off the market and have created now a 35,000 student, you know, school down there. It's incredible. You know, simultaneously, I think the city government, CAP, everyone who's pitched in to, especially since the Olympics, create the tourism business that really drives a lot of downtown, it's really helped change that market. So you have a lot of people down there. And so in our minds, the missing piece, you have retail, you have office, you have transportation, unlike any other place in the Southeast in terms of, you know, MARTA and having access to the airport and certainly the interstate system. There's a residential community, but it's broken up in small, you know, little pods of really of condominium stuff. And so we said, hey, this is the time and the place. If we can prove that downtown rents are viable to justify new construction, this is the opportunity to really change downtown. Because the only missing element in our minds really is a large, growing, you know, residential community. And so we opened up 2 months ago the office, and we've had some pretty incredible leasing demand. They're awesome Class A apartments, and we're seeing rents that will support what we think will be construction by others downtown, and we're really excited about it.
Well, appreciate the fact that you're investing time and energy there, because I think you're right. The residential component, that's what brings the pulse of that city
right
back and makes it exciting. I spent a lot of time in Chicago because of business.
Sure.
And there's just a different vibe in the downtown community.
Absolutely.
That our downtown was missing, but I think that's changing thanks to people like Pace's property.
If so, I may, you guys kind of remind me of an innovative hipster real estate company.
We'll take it. I've been called a lot worse than that.
No, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Y'all take seemingly difficult things and you've turned them into really cool ideas. So it's really exciting.
Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Well, you have the new tagline for the company.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, Merritt, we're out of time. Sadly, before we let you go, how can people contact you? Should they have questions? And where can they learn more about all the amazing stuff happening at Paces Properties?
Well, certainly we have a website, www.pacesproperties.com, and they can just call me at the office, and that's 770-434-2400.
That office or the other office?
Depends. Call that number.
Got it. Merritt Lancaster, a principal at Paces Properties. Great to have you. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks so much.
All right. Well, that wraps this week's About Real Estate edition. Check out the show by visiting AtlantaRealEstateForum.com or by subscribing to the show on iTunes. And if you enjoyed today's broadcast, we'd sure appreciate a rating and review on iTunes. So on behalf of today's guest, Merritt Lancaster, my co-host Brian Nonni, I'm Todd Schnick. We'll see you next week on the Atlanta Real Estate Forum radio show.